You're listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. Joining us today in studio, veteran Western Mass journalist Kristen Palpini, and on the line, Chris Collins, columnist with the Greenfield Recorder. Kristen, Chris, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Adam.
Always good to be here.
This week, Springfield's police commissioner said her department is shorthanded in terms of staffing. Cheryl Claproot told the Republican newspaper her department has been unable to hire enough new recruits to make up for retiring officers. Mayor Dominic Sarno says policing is a very difficult career.
You have many families now that unfortunately don't want their son or daughter or their grandson or their daughter or their partner or spouse to go into policing, but it is still an honorable profession.
Kristen, Sarno says Springfield is safe, but how concerning is this staffing issue?
Oh, it's very concerning, not just for Springfield, but nationwide it's an issue. Police, fire, doctors, we have a lot of professional shortages coming up right now, but crime has been going down nationally. While the number of police also have been going down, I guess until there's some kind of critical point break there, we're kosher.
Chris, Claproot blamed the recruitment problems in part on the media for what she said was a lack of respect for police. We certainly have covered scandals involving the department in recent years, criminal charges and legal settlements and alleged brutality. But is her criticism fair?
Well, it's always easy to blame the media for the ills in society. But the reality is, Kristen's right. There's a lot of professions where they're having a tough time getting people to work because it's a good economy and people have choices. You know, being a police officer is not an easy gig. And so I understand that there might be people that would be hesitant to get involved in that. And if Springfield's chief is unhappy with the way the media's covered their scandals, that's too bad. A story is a story, and they haven't helped their cause.
Also this week, Massachusetts public health officials said they're ready for COVID-19, also known as coronavirus. Public Health Commissioner Dr. Monica Burrell says her department has what it needs in terms of funding and supplies and that they've also been working with healthcare providers. She also tried to reassure residents.
We want you to know that the risk of COVID-19 remains low in Massachusetts. However, the risk for the flu is currently very high.
Chris, there's been just one confirmed case of coronavirus in Massachusetts, but a few hundred people are quarantined after traveling to China, including a Pittsfield family. Are you worried about all of this?
Well, I'm worried about it mainly because of the incubation period. Now, the common flu has 3 to 5 days incubation period. This one's 14. You could have this thing and transmit it without even knowing you have it. So, yeah, that's a little bit scary. And there are those that will say the media is making too much of it. I don't think you can report this story enough. I think it's that important, and I'm glad to hear that there's plans in place, even though the risk is low so far here.
Kristen, is the media making too much of this?
Well, that's hard to say because I don't want to say yes, and then we face this terrible problem. But, you know, I think Chris has been here before, too. But, I mean, we've SARS, H1N1, swine flu or bird flu, I forget which is which. We've seen these kind of things come and go, and I don't know if the coronavirus is going to be like that. I guess I hope that it kind of peters out like those other really scary pandemics or almost pandemics that we had to be concerned about.
Moving on to politics, Super Tuesday is coming up next week, and three New England states, Massachusetts, Vermont, and Maine, will be casting ballots in presidential primaries. Here, polls show Bernie Sanders ahead of Elizabeth Warren in her home state. Chris, you wrote you badly want a candidate you can get behind. Tell us more.
I badly do, and I it's one of those things where, you know, when Bloomberg got in, I thought, well, this may be a guy who, you know, centrist-wise, politics-wise, I could line up with. His debate performance in the first debate didn't thrill me very much. I want to desperately believe there is a candidate that can beat Donald Trump and one that I can get behind. I think if we could take the strongest points from all of these candidates in the race and make one super candidate, we might have something. I don't think we can stand four more years, this guy. And I'm not a never Trumper. I've never been a big Trump basher. But some of the stuff we've seen recently makes me think that there needs to be a strong candidate to give this guy the heave-ho in November.
Kristen, are you surprised Warren is having so much trouble in her home state?
A little bit, yeah. She's popular out here, but also people aren't afraid of being critical of her or any of our politicians, really. That's kind of the Massachusetts way. So we are tough, But there's even before Warren ran, there was a lot of support here for Bernie from the last election. That didn't die away. That kind of stayed and boiled a little.
Chris, are you surprised Warren's having a tough time here in Massachusetts?
A little bit. I think, and I've talked to some people who were hardcore Bernie supporters last time that, in fact, joined organizations that grew out of the last Bernie Sanders campaign that are now supporting Warren. I also think that if she doesn't carry Massachusetts, it doesn't bode well for her moving forward. If you're a senator and you can't carry your own state, that's going to be a talking point. The other problem, I think, with the Democrats is they're so busy savaging each other, they're forgetting the fact that there's a common enemy here, and that's Donald Trump and the Republicans. My fear is that there's so much scorched earth happening in some of these debates, there's not going to be a whole lot left over once we do get to a convention and to get a nominee.
I think by then, I think people will forget the primaries and the focus will go back on Donald Trump where it belongs. And I think it's going to be one heck of a presidential race. I'm excited.
We wrap up this week with rail cars. Connecticut has been leasing train equipment from Massachusetts for the Hartford line, and they even refurbished the bathrooms in the cars at their own cost because they were not handicapped accessible. And now Massachusetts says they need the cars back when the lease runs out. Kristen, those bathrooms couldn't be used, of course, because they weren't accessible. Is Massachusetts taking advantage of their friends in Connecticut here?
I mean, I don't know why Connecticut wanted to sign that deal. They were really desperate for those cars. I guess that's what it came down to, because it wasn't a good deal for them. They shouldn't have had to pay to fix the cars, to only keep them for a little time in Massachusetts to get them back. But that was the deal.
Of course, Massachusetts benefiting a little bit from the train service as well. Chris, is this any way to run a railroad?
Well, I think that the key phrase there is a little bit. I don't think we've seen near the ridership, especially in the knowledge corridor, that we thought we were going to see. This is one of those sort of interstate squabbles that it'll get ironed out eventually. I think the larger point is, you know, any conversation about increasing rail service or increasing the use of rail is a good thing for the region, not only ecologically, but economically.
All right, Chris Collins with the Greenfield Recorder and Veteran Valley journalist Kristen Palpini, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. You can also listen to us wherever you get your podcasts or by going to nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.